To understand the Book of Galatians, you need to understand my story. To understand my story, you need to understand my husband's story. But you can't understand his story without some knowledge of the ancient Greeks. My name is Eunice. I'm a Jew. I married a Greek. And our marriage set up an irreconcilable difference in worldviews.
The first Christians were Jews, and they followed the laws of Moses religiously. They believed all Christians should do so. Paul wrote Galatians to give people the good news that Christians follow Jesus and obey him.
Ancient Greece. Here we go. The Parthenon, famous Greek philosophers, playwrights, democracy, Greek art. When you think of these things, you're probably thinking of the Golden Age of Athens, which was 480 BC to 404 BC. Although Athens was only one of the great Greek cities, it has had a more lasting influence on civilization than any of its other cities. Athens lost its independence when it was conquered by Philip II of Macedonia. Macedonia was a different country from Greece, but most of the rest of the world saw little difference. Philip's son, Alexander the Great, conquered most of the known world, and Greek influence expanded. Greek became the accepted international language, and Greek philosophies impacted thinking of intellectuals as far away as India. 200 years later, the Romans struck back. They conquered the Greeks and made Greece into a Roman province. They stole everything the Greeks owned, including their gods, philosophies, and art. Greek art reflected the way the Greeks revered the human body. To them, there were no private parts. Every part of the body was on display, and perfection of looks was highly desired. You can verify this yourself if you go to any museum with classical Greek art on display. This is all leading somewhere. An abhorrent thing to the Greeks, even in my time, was to mutilate any part of your body. For a man, one of the worst things that you could do was to become circumcised. If you did so, you'd likely be publicly shamed. If you were single, it was unlikely that you would find a good wife. My husband was a Greek. He hated the idea of circumcision. I don't have time to tell you why I married a Greek, but I did. And I got pregnant soon after our marriage. I begged God to let me have a daughter. God sent me a son. 8 days after his birth, my marriage essentially ended. According to Jewish custom and law, any male child was to be circumcised on the 8th day after birth. The father was to oversee the ritual. My husband not only refused to circumcise my son, he refused to let it happen for the entirety of my son's childhood. Because he was not circumcised, my son could not participate in any Jewish rites, including studying with rabbis or becoming a part of the Jewish community. Wow. Not on my watch. I tried hard to teach my son the Jewish scriptures, but didn't have enough training to do a good job. What I lacked in intellect, I tried to make up with prayer, fasting, and faith. My family lived in Lystra, a city in the Roman province of Galatia. We were located on the major road that led from Ephesus to Antioch in Pisidia to Tarsus to Antioch in Syria. Paul initially visited my city on his first missionary journey. I heard that Jews were traveling through, so I tracked them down to offer customary hospitality. It's just what good people did. And I could use all the points I could get. I thought I was being hospitable. They gave me infinitely more than I gave them. They gave me two pieces of good news. Paul and Barnabas told me about the good news of Jesus and how he was the promised Messiah of the Jews. They proved this to me by using scriptures of the Old Testament and by by who they were as people, their story, their actions. The second piece of good news was that my son and I could participate in the good news by believing in Jesus and being baptized. If we did, we could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These were the same things Paul and Barnabas taught everywhere they went. I hope you didn't miss a subtle thing that I did not say. My son did not have to be circumcised to be a Christian. That was the best possible news we could possibly have heard. My son Timothy was overjoyed. Later, some Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem. They insisted that my son be circumcised in order to be a Christian. We refused. I immediately sent a letter to Paul telling him about their teaching. He was furious. Soon thereafter, Paul came into conflict with these same types of Jewish Christians in Antioch. The brothers there sent them all to Jerusalem, to the apostles and elders, to get their opinion about the necessity of circumcision for Christian believers. Acts 15 tells more about this meeting. The result was extremely good news for us. Non-Jews could become Christians without being circumcised or following the laws of Moses. That was a monumental decision which helped influence the future of Christian evangelism forever. No longer was Christianity a sect of Judaism. No longer did new believers have to be circumcised. No longer would the Greeks have a reason to refuse to become Christians. And Paul was given a letter that proved that to be the case. He arrived with that letter in my city of Lystra at the start of his second missionary journey. You can't believe my family's joy. When Paul left Lystra to continue his second missionary journey, my son Timothy went with him. Timothy, my son. He was not a Jew. He had not been circumcised and accepted into the Jewish community. He was not a Greek because he had a Jewish mother. When he became a Christian, it wiped out all of those other identities. No longer did he have to identify outside of Christ. Ironically, even though it wasn't required of him, Timothy chose to get circumcised. Before leaving with Paul and Barnabas, he will, after all of his missed opportunities in childhood, after all the back and forth between Paul, Barnabas, the apostles, the elders, after all I stood against and stood for on his behalf, Timothy made the decision, his own decision. My son, growing into the man I'd always hoped and prayed he would be, he decided to be circumcised as a grown adult, just so he could go into the synagogues and tell the Jews about Jesus. I don't know who was prouder, me or his grandmother. Timothy understood that a critical time in history was at hand. Paul would soon focus on going to the Gentiles. The last chance for Jews was approaching. Jews who became Christians would change the course for their future generations as they became Christians. Jews who refused Christianity kept their future generations on course to be Jews. Everlasting legacies in the balance. It was also a critical time in history because the understanding of Christianity was radically changing. Christianity was essentially a Jewish sect at the beginning. Virtually all Christians were Jews, and all followed the laws of Moses. Then, about a decade after Jesus, Peter and the Council of Jerusalem declares, from now on, it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved. No longer the law, but faith and grace. It is within the context of these critical events that Paul wrote a letter addressed to the churches in my province of Galatia. You may know the letter as Galatians. This letter was written to us, Christians living in Galatia, and will prove to be applicable to people of all time. Paul begins his letter by assuring us that the gospel he preached to us is the only true gospel. He tells us that the true gospel does not require us to follow the rites of laws of Moses, such as circumcision. In order to prove his authority in the matter, Paul reminds us of his background of being a persecutor of Christians before becoming a believer himself. Only revealed in this letter, he went into Arabia for 3 years after becoming a believer. It's where he received revelation from Jesus. This was before he went back to Jerusalem, and after Jerusalem, he went and preached in Syria and Cilicia. He returned to Jerusalem, where he was accepted by the apostles and was assured his gospel message was valid. At that time, Paul's message was vindicated because of his protege Titus was not required to be circumcised. By telling his story in such detail, it becomes clear that Paul is fighting for his proverbial life. He absolutely needs to establish his authority, not only to us, but to all others. Why? Why does Paul need to establish his authority? Because we are unsure of who to believe. Paul tells us that following the law of Moses is not important, but others are telling us that it is. Who are we to believe? We have no New Testament. How are we to decide who to believe? How do you know who to believe? Back to Paul's main point. The law will weed out any burgeoning Christian. And Paul knew it. He summarizes his point by talking about the life and death nature of the matter. For through the law, I am dead to the law, that I might live for God. I am crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ancient Greeks, check. My husband's story, check. My story, check. What you need to know now is the story of Timothy's grandmother, Lois.